Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
This is CBS Out in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Matthew Longo. The professor is the author of the new book, The Picnic, A Dream of Freedom and the Collapse of the Iron Curtain. It is late June 1989. Several months have gone by since the meeting with Gorbachev. Prior to the Warsaw Pact meeting, we're in a city, the second most populous city in Hungary, I learned, Debrecen. Von Habsburg is in the room, a man who's part of the European Parliament, but he's addressing a gathering of young people in a party that sees itself as opposition to the Communist Party dominating the conversation. He inspires the people in that room, and one of them is Neji. And several days later, people in Debrecen will say, "We must do something. We must act in a fashion that is consistent with our wish to be free." And a young woman named Maria speaks up with a plan. And the plan is to hold a party. Help me understand, Matt. I don't know the geography. How far is Debrecen from the border? And how is it that Maria comes to understand that is the soft place for the party?
Yeah, fantastic. So we're now in late June 1989 in Debrecen, right? So these two things that John is referring to, this is June 20th is the beginning of this idea, and then June 30th starts to form. To understand and to appreciate the whole context, one has to completely change their register of thinking. We're no longer dealing with elites, right? This is no longer Nemeth and Gorbachev and Ceausescu, names that we know, very high-powered political figures. We're now out in the borderlands. To give you an idea of where Debrecen is a 20-minute drive from the edge of what was then the Soviet Union, right? So now it's Ukraine. It's absolutely at the edge of the Romanian border and the now Ukrainian, then Soviet border. And the people we're talking about are just kids, right? I mean, they're either late 20s, let's say, some even early 30s, but they're people who are young. The two main actors, so Ferenc and Maria, these two figures, begin to hatch this idea that, you know what, we can talk about issues. We can do something radical and strange because they're at a moment in their lives when, in a way, change is all they can look forward to. You have to imagine if you're not an elite living out in the bush, right, out in the borderlands, you can't imagine democracy. You can't imagine liberalism. It's impossible to think that one day there wouldn't be a Soviet Union lording over you. And there's a kind of, well, when you have nothing to lose feeling that governs their actions, because they do feel as if there's nothing to lose. Communism had taken away their youth, right? And they have this idea that says, well, we're 400 miles. We're now a 6-hour train ride away from the Austrian border, the border of the Iron Curtain with the West, which at that point is Hungary, Austria. But let's do something. Let's not just talk about things. Let's talk about things, meaning European togetherness and freedom and all these great ideas at the border. And it was a wild idea. Ferenc first raised it. It went nowhere. It's absurd. How could you possibly throw a party at the Iron Curtain? This incredibly, like, devastatingly dangerous place. But that's right. This young woman, Maria, said, well, I'll help you. Let's try to plan it together. And together they form basically the nucleus of a team that says we're going to try to throw a party protesting communism, protesting the Iron Curtain, at the Iron Curtain. It's an incredibly audacious idea.
Yes, so much so that Maria finds a way to get on the phone. I learned from Matt that there were very few phones in Hungary. Bizarrely, that was an understanding that the leadership had, that it would keep people happy or they wouldn't cause trouble. Maria gets on the phone and starts making phone calls, including to the government. We have to set the geography here. They identify a place called Sofron. And Sofron is at the frontier next to Austria It is in a forest, largely, and there's a lake nearby where there's a campsite. Mm-hmm. And now we go to a man named Laszlo Nagy. I hope I say it right, Matt, not Laszlo Nagy. And you're meeting with him after you first learned of this event. This event is not in the history books. The leadership had ideas, but they didn't act on them. What acted on them were these young people. There's a lake, there's a campsite. And what was Maria's original vision? She lives on the other side of the country. She'd never been there.
Yeah, precisely. So the way Hungary works, there's Budapest in the center, is the capital. And all the other cities, even relatively large cities, are basically peripheral. And it's quite normal for people in the peripheries, meaning people like Ferenc and Maria, who are out in Debrecen, to visit Budapest. But the idea that you would visit another periphery very far away in a time without easy transport, without basic communications, was more or less unheard of. It was quite rare. So they had never been out there. Instead, they communicate with people out in the borderlands because by phone, by trying to say, we need someone in this town of Sopron that will help us. But the idea that Ferenc and Maria have, it's profound in its ignorance in a way. Because their idea is to throw a party, and you can imagine like a fence. Their dream is to invite Austrians who'd come up to the fence. They could pass sausages through the chain link. You know, they could toss beers over the fence to one another. It was a completely silly, but almost euphorically so, plan. It was the product of ignorance and youth and excitement, but also activism. The belief that if you want to change the world, you do it. And so they had this idea of this very thin fence. Actually, the borderlands looked totally different. The Iron Curtain was not a fence. The Iron Curtain was basically a several kilometers wide zone of many levels of fence, of electric fencing. It had been in the past mines. Most of them in Hungary had been cleared at this point, in part because border guards kept dying. They've got all these different layers of watchtowers and dogs and soldiers and tracks. And the Iron Curtain is essentially a several kilometer wide death zone. You can't throw a party at the edge of the death zone and see anyone in Austria. I mean, they're kilometers away. And so they actually have to go and figure out how to make a party. But as it turns out, the project of unrolling of de-electrifying and then rolling up the actual Iron Curtain was quicker than they expected. By the summer, a lot of it had been cleared, including around Sopron. But more importantly, this particular area, they were able to get in touch with the border guards, and they were able to get in touch with the authorities above the border guards, who allowed a one-time-only crossing. So Austrians could come in to the Iron Curtain and celebrate with the Hungarians.
Let us go to the event itself. Matthew Longo, The Picnic. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.